Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Kirk Martin, founder of Celebrate Calm and America's Calm Coach. What is it today? It is Tuesday, May 17th. Forgive me for that. When we're home and not on the road, the days kind of fly by a little bit. We're thrilled that you're here. I want to try to give you some really, really powerful tools to use with your kids this week, to use in your own life. And I want to empower you, because many of us live in a very defensive mode when we have more strong-willed kids. We're used to getting those looks from other people in the grocery store, at school, at other places. Many of you have that perfect sister-in-law with the perfect children who come over to your house, and they make those snide little comments of, oh, well, your son or daughter sure has a lot of energy. And you know what they're saying. They're saying your kid's a brat and whatever, and it's too hyper. And I want you to be able to look at that sister-in-law and say, I love my child's energy. I love the fact that my child has initiative. Sure, he gets in trouble sometimes because at school he doesn't wait to be told what to do, but I like that initiative. I like my son's creativity. Other people get on him because his head is in the clouds, but you know what? He's problem-solving. He's coming up with new ideas. He's a great little inventor. He's got all this passion in life. He has this great sense of humor. And you know what? You better be nice to my son, because one day your kids are going to be working for my son. And I want us to be able to see the positive in our kids and not ignore the negatives. We'll get into that today. But I want to focus more of my time on really building up my child's gifts and passions and seeing in the long term that they can be wildly successful. So some of this is going to be, you know, you guys are going to have to determine in life what's an arbitrary standard of success, because in our society we have set up a lot of arbitrary standards. One of them, you know, I touch on often at workshops is circle time. Well, I understand the purpose of circle time, but there's no need to be good at circle time in life. If your child is 5 or 6 years old and they can't sit still in a circle and you get the call from school of, like, your child has a behavior issue, I just say, thank you, thank God that my child is 5 years old. He's not supposed to be sitting. And by the way, when was the last time in the corporate world that you had circle time? You don't. So do I want kids to behave well, and do I want them to be respectful? Absolutely, I want that. But you know what? Some of the things we ask our kids to do these days is completely against nature, and it's against an arbitrary standard that we've set up. So my focus always comes back to, what skills does my child need to succeed in life? And that's where my focus needs to be and is. And I want you guys to get in the habit of doing this, of taking that intensity that you have as a parent, because we tend to spend that intensity on negatives. How many times have I told you not to do this? You know what? If I have to tell you one more time, guys, I'm sick and tired of this. And if you notice when you say that, your voice is intense, your face is intense, your body posture is intense. Instead, switch that around and start giving your intensity to the positives of telling your kids, I love your curiosity. You ask why all the time. You know what? Some people take that as being defiant or it's just a pain, but you know what? I love that you're asking why, because that means you're curious. That means you're looking to solve problems. That means you're looking for a better way to do things. And I know it's a pain sometimes for me as the parent, because I just want you to do what I say, when I say, how I say, but I love that quality. So let's work on that together this week as well. We have a lot of new people coming on board into Celebrate Calm Weather through our travels at workshops, finding us on the internet, however it is. I want to welcome you all. You guys don't know my story, and I'm not going to tell it now, but I do want to give you a quick overview of our approach to behavior, because it's really unique and it's very powerful and actually works, and we kind of like that. So traditional behavior management says, if I find a behavior that's irritating or annoying, I put all of my energy into changing that behavior. And that's why at home we come up with these elaborate point systems, and some of you, you have to understand calculus to keep up with the points. At the end of the week, your child has done nothing, and for some reason you still owe them $45. Some of you have, you ratchet up consequences, right? You know what? Keep it up, young man, and I'll take your video games away for another week. It doesn't change anything in the schools. We see a child who's standing up and he's walking around. He's maybe talking out of turn, or he's playing with another student's things. And we say, you know what? That's inappropriate behavior. So I'm going to start marking an X on your sheet of paper. You can take that home to your parents every night so they'll know how you're doing. And it never changes. The behavior usually gets worse because we're only focusing on the outward manifestation of the behavior, not the inner need that's causing it. And we always go back to this example. If I don't feed you, if you don't get to eat for a day or two, you will become irritable, you'll get cranky, you'll probably get a little bit short, you'll have a bad attitude, your stomach may rumble. And if I just say, hey, you know what? Quit with the stomach rumbling and let's watch the attitude. Inside, you're going to be crying out saying, hey, I don't want to be this way. I'm trying not to be this way. I'm hungry. So the principle is, if I can proactively meet the root need, in this case, giving you something to eat, then a lot of the manifestations that come from that need not being met, you're hungry, the irritability, well, those start to go away, or I can deal with the problem in a very real way. So one of my great passions is giving insight into human nature, because if we don't understand our kids and ourselves, we'll continually misunderstand them. And I was just thinking about this one. It's focused intensity, the power of focused intensity. The three needs that our kids have are the need for order, structure, and consistency. Absolutely critical to have those traditions in your home and to have those rules in the place and to have that consistency of discipline. Second need is the need for sensory needs. Many of your kids have sensory needs. They're hypersensitive. Lights are too bright. Loud noises really set them off. They smell things. They're sensitive to touch and feel of their clothes. It's why they find something they like to wear, and they'll wear that same hoodie, sweatshirt, you know, 15 days in a row, and it's embarrassing to you, but it just feels good. And then the third need is the need for stimulation, because many of your kids have brains that don't get enough blood flow. They don't get enough dopamine. And so their brains are understimulated, and that's why they're looking for the stimulation. That's why we show teachers how to use fidgeting to your advantage in the classroom and why we need to stimulate our kids' brains. But focused intensity is a way that many people who are wired like us, me included, work best. Many of you are this way. And I was just thinking about that because when we get back from our next trip, we head up to Minnesota for about 6 days. When we get back, I have off. I'm not traveling at all in the month of June. And one of my goals in the month of June is to learn how to cook. And many of you know I've been learning this over the past year. And I find a few dishes here and there. But I'm approaching it in a different way. I'm saying in the month of June, I am going to come up with 9 killer recipes and meals that I can give to my family, because I've never given that to my family before. You know, I'm helping out now and doing some things. But just saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to learn how to cook. Well, you know what, life gets busy and you tend not to do it. But now I know, okay, I've got a month, and I'm going to be so focused on that. I'm going to try things, and some things are going to stink, and I'm just going to fail at it. And I learn best that way. And many of your kids learn best that way. They need to fail. We need to give them room to try new things and fail and say, you know what, that was great. I'm glad you tried it and you failed, because you either learned, one, that's not your passion or your gifting, and so you move on, or you learn from it and say, okay, next time, what are we going to do differently? And so I expect in June, I'm probably going to fail half the time at my meals, and then I'll make them better and better and better. And part of this is because my wife is going back to school full-time in the fall to pursue her master's in psychology. And so she's supported me for so long. I want to support her and with actually healthy meals. And so that focused intensity, watch that in your kids. It's oftentimes why they procrastinate, because if you procrastinate, you wait until the last minute. Now you get all this pressure, all this intensity of like, I might get in trouble. And it brings blood flow to the brain, and the kids learn best that way. So you kind of have to work with that. That's one thing that we've noticed with the when we created the audio CDs is so that it can be a constant reminder. We have moms who say, when I get up in the morning, I just put it on. I put it in my iPod, or I just put it on in the kitchen, and I listen, and I listen. And dads who get in the car, moms too, they've got CD player in the car. Well, it's just a constant reminder, and there's a focus on it, so it's top of mind. And I've actually had some dads say, you know what, I don't always listen to what you say, but I know what the theme of, I know what you're saying, and just hearing it there reminds me when I get to work, control what I can control. When I come in from after a hard day's work and I come into my home, I remember my job is to control myself, not my spouse, not my kids. It's to control myself, and it just helps. We've noticed that the boot camp that we started is really working well because of this focused intensity. It's 35 straight days, and we're really pounding on a core subject, how to get a grip on my own anxiety. So we're actually expanding that because we're finding the results are really good. So we're going to be introducing in June marriage boot camp, because we all say, we kind of neglect this area of marriage, and we're like, you know, we'll get to that later after we figure the kids out. Well, good luck with that, because we're never going to figure the kids out in that respect. But what we want to do is say, you know what, we're going to put in 35 days, because I can put in 35 days. Talking about like 6 months, that's long, but 35 days of intense focus on what can I do better, what can I do differently. I think we're going to do one on teenagers, because teenagers bring their own set of issues, and we've heard at the workshops, hey, my relationship is just broken with my teenager, and I need to do something quickly because it's spiraling out of control. So 35 straight days of this, and then we're going to do one, which is my passion, on living your passions. Instead of just giving up our lives and just being like, I'll just go to work every day. You know, two of the phrases that I really don't like in life are this. I try not to say that often, Happy Friday. I don't like it because I get it, we're going for the weekend, but I think underneath of it is this sense of, hey, the week has stunk all week and I've been at this job I don't like, so thank God it's Friday so I don't have to do my work. Well, work is a good thing. Work is an honorable thing. There's dignity in work, and I want us to love what our work is and see purpose in it. And if you're just spending 5 out of 7 days doing something that you don't love and you don't feel good about, that's not a fun life. To me, I'm thinking 5 out of 7, that's not a good thing. And I did that for a long time. And I understand you just don't change things overnight. But we need to have a plan, because you guys have some amazing gifts and talents and passions that you're not using. And we're really robbing society and other people of it, because you've got the gifts, people need it, but how do you make that jump? How do you identify those passions? How do you start to use them in very, very practical ways? How do you make money out of it? Because you can't just say, oh, I just want to go help people, and I'm just going to do whatever. Now, that's fine. I'm a big believer in volunteering. We do a lot of that. I love that. But if you're going to pursue your passion, you're going to have to make a living at it, and you should. And so we're going to do a boot camp on that. So we'll be sending that out shortly. But the whole purpose of saying that is focused intensity is often a really good tool. Okay, let's get to some questions now. Got a 6-year-old hitting, screaming, spitting, just losing control, right? And so what do we do? Because in that situation, you can't just talk rationally, because the child is no longer rational when they're that upset. So a couple things. We've got to look for the root of it. There's something underlying that. I don't think there's any child that really comes home after school or wakes up in the morning and just consciously says, hey, I think I'll get into a big, throw a big fit and tantrum, and I'll start hitting my mom. That sounds like a good way to start the afternoon. I don't think any kids, you know, now they're responsible for their actions, but I don't think they're just intending to do it. So just saying, well, my child is defiant, that doesn't tell me anything. What's going on? Is there underlying anxiety behind that? Is this happening at certain parts of the day? Is your child overwhelmed? Think about it. Think about your own tantrums that you throw, that we all throw as adults, or our pity parties. We all do this. We just tend to mask it and do it in socially acceptable ways. We do this. Why do we do it? Do we want other people just looking at us and saying, you know what, you're just a jerk. You're just a defiant little jerk. You just need to get your act together. No, we want people to understand, I'm really overwhelmed. I'm a single mom, and I'm having struggle, or I'm in this marriage, and my spouse is emotionally withdrawn, or husband got laid off from his job, or my wife did, or whatever. I want people to understand what's the root of it. So I would ask all of you, step back before responding to this and say, what's the root? What's going on? Because if I find, oh, my child's really anxious about something, or he's just overwhelmed by everything going on at school, and we're moving, or we're in the midst of a divorce, or a spouse changed their jobs or schedule changed, if I can get to the root of it, I can start dealing with the underlying problem that's causing the hitting and screaming. Now, when we get to that point of the hitting and screaming, I like to have a predetermined plan. We have to plan for these things. You have to plan for the fact that your child is going to be disappointed and upset probably 6 out of 7 days, if not 7 out of 7 days, because disappointment is a fact of life. So what are we going to do when that happens? Because just yelling and saying, hey, you know what, do not hit me. You are not allowed in this home. Your intensity in that situation will actually throw fuel on the fire and make it more intense. So I would talk to your little guy and say, hey, next time you get upset, what do you want to do? Because I know you don't like hitting me and screaming and doing all these things. I know that doesn't feel good inside, and I know you don't want to do that to me. By the way, as a side note, don't take it personally. Don't make it about you. How dare you do that to me? Honestly, I get that. It's disrespectful. It's not nice. But it's not about me. It's not about you in that situation. Some of us have our skin is too thin, and we kind of get indignant, like, how dare they do that after all I do for you? That resentment does nothing in the situation but make me sound like a bigger baby and like I'm the needy one. In this case, I need to look at the child and say, man, this kid doesn't want to be doing this, so what can we do instead? I've got a mom who wrote me in after she listened to the Defiance and Disrespect CDs. I love those. Very good. Walk you through all that stuff. And she said, oh, here's our routine. I started, when my son started getting upset, I started just calmly saying, hey, do you want to look at your Pokemon cards with me? Because I was going to go through them. I thought it would be kind of neat to do that right now. I give them something to do. It could be coloring. It could be something physical, like, hey, every time you get upset, instead of hitting me, let's hit the floor and let's do push-ups, or we'll do sit-ups. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to put a chart up on the fridge, and we're going to see how many push-ups we can get done in a week. And maybe we do this as a family, and we start to measure it, and we say, hey, if we get up to 300 push-ups a week, wow, we're going to all be getting stronger. It's going to be calming for us, and you know, it's kind of a cool thing, so maybe there's a reward for that. But come up with a pre-established routine that you can start doing with your six-year-old. I prefer with little kids something physical, maybe jumping on a trampoline or a mini trampoline in the basement. But think about what your child enjoys doing and try to incorporate that into it. If he likes playing catch, I play catch. If he wants to kick a soccer ball around, hey, I'll kick the soccer ball around while we talk about why you're so upset. Okay, here's a really good question, staying with the meltdown theme. I've got a 10-year-old boy. Meltdowns are happening lately. Just noticed, child has is on meds now, is taking some medication for their issue. This child has gastrointestinal issues, and so there's lots of things going on here. So a couple things. One is got to watch with the medication, because sometimes the medications do cause kids to be more emotionally vulnerable, more emotionally upset. They tend to kind of trigger more quickly. Sometimes it just messes with their body chemistry, and it just makes them feel not like themselves. So definitely go see your doctor and say, hey, here's what's going on. We may need to adjust this, but we have to do something, because I remember when we first did this way back when Casey was a little kid and we tried medication, man, he just flipped out. It just was not good. And that's when we actually started developing this whole methodology of, I want to give my child as many tools as I can to succeed. And I started researching, saying, what's that medication supposed to do for my son? Oh, well, it's a stimulant. It's bringing blood flow to his brain and it's stimulating his brain. Okay, if the medication's doing that, maybe there are some things naturally that I can do and I can teach my son to do that don't have the side effects. And so that's where we came up with a lot of this methodology, because that can at times work really, really well. And I definitely want to look at the GI issues, you know, the gastrointestinal issues, because there could be a vitamin deficiency. I think the mom had said there's malabsorption issues. We're big into looking at nutrition. In fact, I usually go through a process before we put a child on medication. We'll say, let's make a list of all the tools we can give this child to succeed. Creating a calm home, bingo, very good foundational. Teaching the child, how do you calm down? How do you deal with this? What do you want to do differently when you're upset? Definitely have to do that. Exercise, huge. Dealing with underlying anxiety, frustration, feeling overwhelmed, big. Getting rest. And then we look at nutrition. I mean, from a very simplistic notion, you've noticed this before. If you eat something and it didn't do well with your stomach, or you're allergic to it, well, you get crabby, you don't feel well, and that creates some behavior issues. So I would definitely see a nutritionist, see someone who's very good at taking kind of a holistic or a bigger approach to things and looking at the entire body, looking at your son. We still, as I've said many times, we still see Dr. Susan Clark back in the D.C. area. When we travel back there, we still go see her, because she's just magical with this stuff of figuring out what your body needs, and you give your body what it needs, and it affects behavior. Quick side note popped into my mind. I just want to mention this. For a lot of kids who struggle with obsessive compulsive tendencies, Google this. PANDAS, PANDAS. It is I don't want to get into it because I'll explain it the wrong way, but it's related to the strep virus. And what we're seeing is a lot of kids who have these outward manifestations of anxiety and obsessive compulsive behaviors, a lot of times it's something happening within their bodies. In this case, I believe it's a viral condition. So I just put in capital PANDAS. Google it, and you'll find a lot of good information there. So, but it still comes back to the same methodology, right? We want to look at the underlying root and get to that, because until we get to that, if we're just treating the behavior, all we're going to do is consequences. And so a lot of moms and dads will say, but hey, what are the consequences we give for this meltdown? Well, to be honest, consequences aren't going to stop the meltdown the next time. It's a reactive approach. I want to teach the child specific ways to calm themselves down and deal with anxiety and the underlying root. So hopefully that makes sense for you. If not, feel free to email back to me. Okay, here's a question that came in. Hey, do we need a psychologist for this? Because, you know, things are just changing. Like, my child's just becoming really kind of out of control, and it's not really working well for us, and I don't know what to do. So, again, I would look I would look at this and try to give your doctor, if you go to a psychologist, give them some information of looking at this. Has anything changed recently? Job changes, change in schedule, are you moving? Is there divorce going on? Did someone in the family die? Did a pet die? Did a teacher change at school? Did something change? Because oftentimes when things change, it triggers anxiety in our kids, and that triggers meltdowns and bad attitudes. Look for sensory issues, because if I'm a very sensory person, if something is bothering me in a sensory way, I'm going to react to that. And so look for the underlying things. I wanted to read out the this mom's email because you can hear kind of the sadness in there. I'm so sad I can't talk to my child to help understand what is upsetting him or why he doesn't understand why when he's being mean to other people. You know, I'm nervous that if I can't open up the lines of communication with a four-year-old, where would I be with a 14-year-old? Well, a couple things. Well, a four-year-old, you're not going to have as many really good kind of rational discussions. Then again, with a 14-year-old, sometimes you don't. But don't worry, Mom. The fact that you're even aware of this is a good thing. You're not ignoring it. With little kids, toddlers, the physical behavior and the modeling is so important. That's why staying calm, even sitting down, coloring, doing the push-ups on the floor, sitting and playing cards, doing all of those, the mini trampoline thing, all of those physical behaviors, you show them how to calm down, is very, very important. I would look into, and this is just playing a hunch, consult your doctor first because I'm not a doctor, but we often refer out to an occupational therapist, an OT first. Occupational therapists are wonderful, wonderful people. 99.9 out of 100 of them are very positive people. They love kids, and they give you very practical tools. Many of your kids don't have issues that need to be psychoanalyzed and focused on so much. They really don't. Now, some do, but many of your kids don't. They don't necessarily need to always go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Some of your kids need to go to an OT and see if it's a sensory issue or just see, hey, what can we start doing differently when I get upset? That's where I want my focus to be. So consult with your doctor, obviously, but you may want to check out an OT as well because an OT will be honest. There are professionals, and they'll say, hey, you know, I can deal with X, Y, and Z, but what your son is dealing with, I can't deal with that, so you need to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Again, got an email, hey, my son is just so disrespectful. How can I help him understanding that he's being disrespectful to adults in his, to the teachers in his class? I would tell you for the younger kids especially and even older kids, they don't wake up in the morning or go into school and say, hey, I think I'm going to be disrespectful today. Usually it comes from someplace. Does that mean we excuse it? No, there's a consequence for being disrespectful to a teacher. And I'm fine with a school handling it that way. But in the long run, I've got to find out what's causing that. They're frustrated over something's going on. So let's figure that out. Little quick side note here. Workshops. We are heading to Minnesota this coming week. I believe we have three or four workshops up in, I believe we're in Rochester. We're in Fairfield. I forget where, but somewhere really cool in Minnesota this coming week. So if you were up there, please come out and it's Northfield, Minnesota on Thursday. And then next week we're in Rochester for a couple nights. We're taking a little bit of a break during the summer. We're going to be doing some homeschool conventions. A little birdie just whispered in my ear that we have some interest in Colorado and California. Here's the deal, and I'll just be blunt with you. We're based out of Nashville now. We're pretty centrally located. But going to Colorado is 20 hours. It's a long way. Going to California, it's a major commitment. And here, I'll just say it bluntly. We stay really, really busy throughout the Midwest and Chicago and Minnesota and Michigan and Indiana and through the Southeast and through, you know, Texas. And then obviously the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states. We're really busy. And And our workshops, I will tell you, they were phenomenal. In the past week when we were up in Long Island, Connecticut, Jersey, Casey told me after the workshop, he said, "Dad, those are the best workshops you have ever done. There's something about it that you're getting more bold. You're really hitting like on everything now." And I kind of felt it because I can kind of tell from people's reactions, but they're really good experiences. But here's the thing. To go all the way out west, it's a huge time commitment. So I'm just not going out to Colorado for one event. I'm not going out to California for one event. It's not time effective. It's not cost effective for us. So if you were out in the western states, I honestly just need you to pick up the phone and call Brett. I need you to start working it and working with local schools. You know, one thing that I tell people all the time is you can get together with three schools, four schools right in your community, whether it's private schools in the Catholic, you can get the whole parish involved. Sometimes in the Catholic schools, we'll turn 400 or 500 people out, and I can train 200 or 300 teachers at a time. It doesn't cost us any more to train 200 teachers than it does to train 50, or to speak to 300 people than it does to speak to 100. But if you're in a western state, now this is for back-to-school time. It's early September, which is perfect time. Right now I've carved out the time for probably a 10-day to 2-week western trip, but you've got to call within the next couple of weeks, and we've got to get some things going. Otherwise, we'll stay closer to home because we'll fill those dates, and that's just the way that it works best. I know at the end of September, we're going to be training 5 count separate counties in the D.C. area, and then heading up to Long Island and the East Coast. So anyway, back to school time, great time to train, because you know what's cool? If you can start off the new year, and if teachers can understand what we've been talking about just this morning, how to get to the root of the issue, how to stimulate your kids' brains, and then parents can understand this, and kids, Casey does school assemblies, we get everybody on the same page. Nobody else does that in the whole country. We do that, and that's really cool. I will tell you, it takes a phone call. Brett has been sending something out. We're taking 50% off the workshop fees if you book now. Once we get to fall, things change. Our prices on the workshops are going up because, to be quite honest, our CD prices have always been in the premium range. We've always been where I believe they should be, which is premium, which is they require an investment. Our workshop prices, we haven't been where they need to be. I mean, I'm trying not to compare to other people, but our workshops are phenomenal. I mean, they should honestly be, in each of them should be $3,500, $5,000, and getting whole communities behind us. That's where we're going with this. So I encourage you to get moving on that. Another quick note, we were supposed to be in Chicago next Wednesday at a Willow Creek church there, which is a huge church, amazing church. Apparently what happened is we were going to speak to a small group, special education kind of group, and they were getting so many calls into the church that the church found out, everybody found out about it and said, we better make this something bigger. Well, so we've canceled next Wednesday night because we couldn't get a bigger room, but now we're planning something huge there, and that's what we want. We want to have a big impact. We want transformation. Okay, here's a good question. Great question. I love how it's phrased too, okay? How do I help our teenagers or teenager learn to go to bed earlier? And here's the quote, realize the importance of sleep. So my first thing I'll pick on is this. I don't know if you're gonna get a teenager to realize the importance of sleep. They'll get it, right? They're like, yeah, I'm tired when I wake up. But I that wouldn't be my goal, to realize the importance of sleep. I think the main thing you can do there is natural consequences. But let's look at this. Let's look at three different ways to handle this, okay? Because the mom had said, hey, it's taking them forever to do homework. So number one, tools. What tools can we give a child so that he can be successful? Because in this case, is he staying up too late because it's taking too long to do homework? If it's taking long to do homework, well, Do you know all the ways to do homework more quickly? Do you use multisensory stimulation? Because that's what science has proven helps kids with attention and retention. Movement. Movement helps anchor learning in the brain. We have to get our kids moving while they're doing work at times. Rhythm. Rhythm is extremely important in the learning process. Rhythm is the reason we can remember the words to hundreds of songs, because there's rhythm set to it, but we can't recite five poems. And if we don't teach our kids how to do that and how to stimulate their brains in positive, natural ways, well, then, honestly, we're handicapping them. And that's one of my big passions, too, is teaching kids, hey, this is the way your brain is wired. This is the brain you have been given. It's a good brain. Now, you're going to have some challenges and some struggles that other kids aren't going to have, but you also have some advantages. And I'll just say, I want your kids listening to, reading some of the stuff that we put out, and I want you teaching them and them listening to our radio show if it's relevant, or to the CDs, to say, yeah, that's my brain. Okay, it's my homework. You've got teenagers, and you need to be able to teach them how their brains work, and that's what Brain Boosters is about. And teach them that, and then say, listen, homework is yours. I did my homework. And I believe this was a physician who wrote in, so you can say, hey, I did whatever it is, 12 years of college and all these years of residency, I've done my part. It's up to you to learn how to do it. So I want to give them some tools for doing, getting their homework done a little bit more quickly. A little side note here, I'm a big believer in teenagers having extracurricular activities. Not too many, but whether it's a sport, working a job, volunteering somewhere, because the parents get worried because they say, well, how's he going to have time to do his homework if he's going to work for 3 hours? Well, some kids, and our kids in particular, remember we talked about that focused intensity? It's often opposite. The busier they are, the better. And many of you are like this. And if they know that they have to go to work between 4 and 7, it forces them to say, okay, well, I'm going to get a little bit of stuff done before I go to work. Then when I get home, I've got to do X, Y, and Z. For some kids, it's a really helpful thing to do. When kids go off to college, I'm not a big fan of just saying, oh, well, your only job is to study. Boy, if you look at the studies, kids spend very small percentage of their time studying and writing their papers. Most of the time in college, honestly, if you look at the studies, it's wasted. Now, you may say, well, it's not wasted learning how to do social skills and all these other things. But a lot of the time, honestly, it is just wasted. But if they had a job on campus or off campus that they had to do, and I worked through college, I found that it actually helped me organize my time a lot better. So I think about that, but let's look at tools first. I will look to natural consequences. Teenagers' natural consequences are great. So realizing the importance of sleep, good. Will you feel like crap in the morning? Fine. Well, that's what happens when you stay up too late. But I'm not going to, I'm not going to worry about that and be on them all the time. Be like, oh, I'm just, he doesn't feel good. Well, maybe eventually he'll get the hint that he has to go to bed and manage his time a little bit. I'd say modeling is really important in this. If you want kids going to bed early, well, you go to bed early. If you want your kids being compassionate, you be compassionate. Just model it. It's very, very helpful. Couple other side notes. Sleeping for teenagers, you can look it up. There are some studies that show many teenagers physiologically have a very difficult time. Some studies say can't go to sleep before 11 o'clock at night. Some school districts are changing their thing around so little kids go to school earlier, and then the older kids, teenagers, don't go until 8:30 or 9, and they get out later in the afternoon. It works a little bit better with the natural rhythm of their life. Some of your kids are just not going to sleep well. Some of your kids don't require a lot of sleep. I don't have time to do the whole sleep thing right now, but let's look at those areas. And then the final thing was this. I don't want to police my kids on their computer because they say, hey, mom, I've got to be on my computer because I've got to look up research for my school. But this mom knows, hey, they're kind of playing me because they're They're on Facebook, they're Googling things, they're on stuff, not using it. But this mom said, well, I don't want to police their time on a computer. And I kind of like that idea, but I don't want to be the policeman in the home. But I can have a rule in my house and just say, hey, if you need the computer to do your homework, well, it needs to be done by 10 o'clock or 9:30 or 11 o'clock, whatever you need it to be. You can have a rule of, hey, screens off at 10 o'clock. That's just the way it is. I like giving kids space to be responsible, but if they, in Casey's words, this is what Casey teaches kids at school assemblies and through the Straight Talk for Kids thing, is, hey, if you can control yourselves, hey, your parents don't have to. But if you can't control yourself, well, then you put your parents in the position of controlling them. So I'd let them know, hey, I'm going to give you guys a couple weeks to figure this out. But if you guys can't figure this out when we start school next year, there's going to be some ground rules here, because that's just the way that it works. A little side note on keeping your kids accountable on their computer. I'm great with having systems on your computer so kids can't access pornography or sites they shouldn't be using. I'm fine with parents say, hey, you're not doing Facebook. I know, but all my friends are. Well, great. Your friends are. So I don't need to be your buddy, and I don't need you to like me right now, but I am your mom, your dad, and I know it's best, and so, you know, you're not doing Facebook. I'm great with that. Now, Casey and I have something worked out, and it's this, because he's actually really good at this, and he's teaching kids how to control social media, because otherwise social media will absolutely dominate your kids, and they will be, they'll just be owned by it. And I always told Casey, hey, you have to make a choice, because do you want to have power over technology, or do you want to have the technology having power over you? And he was always thinking, like, well, I think, well, if someone texts me or something, well, I have to reply back. Absolutely not. And I taught him by using my phone, I use it as a tool. If someone calls me, I never answer. I just don't. I wait for the voicemail. I'm under no obligation to pick up the phone when someone calls me. I'm just not. Now, I'll do it for my wife and maybe Casey if I think it's important. But no, I don't have to do that. I don't have to reply to an email as soon as people send it. So, in fact, I'm just looking at my phone. I'm getting a call from 305 area code right now. I just won't answer it. And so that I can, me using technology and controlling it instead of it controlling me. Casey and I, the system we have in place is this. At any time, I am allowed to ask him, let me see it. And he has to hand over his phone to me, and I get to look and see what he's texting. Now, he's in his older teens now, so he has a lot more freedom. But you know what? He hands it over to me, and I look at it, and you know what? He'll be like, Dad, you know what? Sometimes my friends use bad language. I'm like, you know what? I get that. I'm not stupid. But there's a trust issue there. And so I kind of like doing that. So the one thing I'd say to wrap this up, Mom, is you got to get a hold of the Courageous Parenting. If you have teens, got to get a hold of the Courageous Parenting CDs and DVDs, because it will show your kids how to start taking back control of their own lives and being responsible for their future. It gives them a game plan to say, yeah, I'm not made like all the other kids, and I may not be going down that path, but I have my own path to go down. I have these advantages, and now I can get it written down. Casey and I have used a written plan for him since he was about 12 years old, and it's what we share in the workbook on these CDs. It's the workbook that we use, and the plan to just plan it out and write it down. It's just very, very powerful. Oh, I want to mention this because this is kind of cool. I've said many times at workshops about how I lament when we go on trips. You know, I'm ready, like we leave tomorrow. I'm going to have all my stuff ready. It's going to be laid out by the door. My clothes are going to be laid out tomorrow. I'm going to be ready to go. Casey won't. He just doesn't do it like that. And so I step back and I control my anxiety. And you know what? I wish he would do it my way, because that would help me. But it's not about me. And you know, he's ready every time we need to leave on a trip or we leave a hotel. He's ready. The issue is he's not doing it the way I want him to do it. But you know what was cool? Yesterday comes up and he says, Dad, I've got a list written down of everything I need to get done before we go away on our trip. And I looked at it. It was written out nice and neatly on this little 3x5 card. He had everything listed, personal things, school things for him, business things, because he does all my packing and prep work. He's amazing at packing. And so we had it written down, and I was like, yes, it's getting to him, because I've written lists for years. But see, now he's doing it. I didn't make him write that list down. We modeled it, and we've talked about it, and now he's doing it. You know what? He owns it. And you know what else was cool? I talked to him about, I just kind of showed him the idea of, well, the more stuff you get done early rather than procrastinate, the more peace it gives you. And so he had on his list a bunch of stuff to get done yesterday. He got it all done, and he actually did some of his Tuesday list yesterday. And I said, you know what? That's a powerful tool, because now you feel so good. You accomplished extra. Now you're kind of in control instead of it being out of control. And I've also taught him, hey, the day before we leave or the day we leave, stuff always comes up. So you got to build in an extra couple hours for something, you know, that's going on. And sure enough, you know, my wife isn't feeling well, so I'm going to take her to the doctor this afternoon. Well, that wasn't planned, but it kind of built in a couple hours. So anyway, keep up the good work with your kids. Model it, and they'll start to follow what you do. Okay, let's look at next question, and we're getting short on time, but we're going to get through a few more of these because they're very good. Okay, after school, my son comes home, and he's super cranky. He won't talk to me. He just talks to me crossly, and I love that word. That's an old-school word. Whoever wrote this to me, that's an old word. Like, they're just cross with me. They're just crossly saying no to any suggestion I have to calm down or engage in discussion, and then he ends up bugging his siblings, and so I don't know what to do. And so here's something. Think outside of the box. If the afternoon routine isn't working well now, mix it up. Change it. Some of our kids just need some decompression time after school. They've been around 25 stinky, loud kids the whole day. They've been in this lunchtime cafeteria that was really loud. They had to sit through these classes all day. When they come home from work, more blah, 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 talking and this and pressure. So here was the idea I came up with, and this mom seemed to really like this. And I really liked this idea. I said, hey, do you have a neighbor who has a dog or a cat or a fish that need to be taken care of? Maybe your son, your new afternoon routine is you get your three kids home, but this son gets to go over to the neighbor's house and feed the dog, walk the dog, play catch with the dog, I don't care, pick up dog poop in the yard, whatever it is, feed the fish. And that way he gets 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, doing something where there's no pressure, and he's around this nice neighbor who's going to be nice to him, and maybe she fixes him a little snack, and he gets to be with animals, and animals are no pressure. They just, you know, wag their tails and lick you and cuddle with you. Great thing to do. And the mom in Wisconsin, she said, hey, should I have the neighbor ask him to help? Absolutely. Always get other people to ask your kids, because when you come up with an idea, duh, you're just my stupid parent. But when a neighbor asks and says, hey, Kenny, could you do me a favor after school? Could you come, because my dog could really use a walk, or I could really use some help, you know, feeding the fish after school. Our kids love to help other people. If your child can earn extra money after school, that's even better, because now they're learning how to work and earn money and then save money and build a little dog walking business. So, you know, let's use that routine. Come up with something different. Come up with something getting kids outside in the afternoon. Here's another for you, mom in Wisconsin. I'm keeping your name private, but you're a longtime kind of listener and follower. And, hey, you need to book a workshop in Wisconsin, by the way. We haven't been there. Casey was born in Wisconsin. I'm a Packers fan, so do it in the fall if the NFL is going on. I want to go see a Packers game. But anyway, here's a little extra tip. Maybe your child takes his books over to the neighbor's house and does some of his homework over there. Maybe there's no pressure there. There's not annoying siblings there. Just an idea. It's different, but it can also often be kind of a real cool way to do it. Okay, here's a great question. Okay, I heard you speak at a workshop. It was really good, fine, whatever. Some things changed overnight, but I have a hard time implementing. I'm kind of ADD, so how do I get this working? So traditions. Build in some traditions into your schedule. Build in some things that you say, hey, every morning I always do X. Every Tuesday night we always do this. Every Friday we always do this. When I'm heading out the door, here's what I'm going to do. Because usually, watch this, when we're heading out the door, we're like, come on, guys, gotta go. We're in this anxious mode, anxious posture. Do it differently. Sit down on the sofa, or even on the chair of the sofa on the way to the door, and just sit and talk calmly and evenly, and ask your kids as you're going out the door, hey, while we're going to the store, while we're going to school, why don't you guys think about what's a fun thing we could do together as a family on Saturday morning? Or we play this treasure hunt game in the backyard every morning. You guys have found a few dollars. What do you guys think we could do with that? What movie do you want to watch? Get their brains focused a little bit. But sit, take your time, and even when your kids are starting to melt down while you're going out the door, the calmer you become, the quicker you get them to kind of come out of that and get focused on, hey, you know what? We've got to go right now, but you know what I was thinking? While we're driving to run errands, why don't you come up with a time? When do you think we could go to the pet store? And if we go, what do you want to see most? You know, kind of focus that, but build some traditions in. With hard time implementing, honestly, That's why we created the CDs. The deal is, you know, you come to a workshop and they're really good, and I'll be there 30 minutes early, and I'll do Q&A with you, and I'll stay for 30 minutes. I'll stay for an hour afterwards asking questions, but it's 2-3 hours at a workshop. We've got 15 to 20 hours worth of stuff on the CDs and the DVDs. So I want you listening every single day. One of the reasons that I am able to stay calm and do this, because I'm very type A, I am very driven, and I'm a very anxious person. But the reason I can do this and I've been successful at it is because I teach it almost every day. I speak it. And to think that you can just read a book or you can listen to something in one workshop and then say, oh, I'm going to change 20 years of patterns in my behavior. No, it doesn't work that easily. Yeah, some things you can change overnight. We give you some tools you can do, and you start doing them. Boom, boom, boom. Works great. But some of this stuff is very hard, and it takes time. And you need to have a tradition of every day, I'm leaving these CDs in the CD player in the kitchen or in my in my car, or I'm burning it onto my iPod. And when I work out, I listen, and I listen, and I listen again. It's why we don't put these in libraries. I don't want people checking them out and listening one time. You've got to listen multiple times, because there are layers of depth here. And so I'd ask you, just call Brett. It's 888-506-1871. I'll sound like a commercial now. 888-506-1871. That's 888-506-1871. Repetition helps. But call him. There's no excuse. I get this all the time, but you know, we heard you, but we didn't have the money. We don't have the budget for it. Bull. I told you many times. I work with every budget. Every budget. There is virtually no one that calls Brett that says, hey, I want to be bold. Here's what I need. Or here's my family situation. Can you tell me which ones would work best for me? We're not into offloading stuff that you don't need. We'll tell you very specifically what you need and how it can help. And then he tells us, this is my budget, and we work with you. We've got all kinds of ways to do that. But the thing is, you have to be bold. And you can email him. It's brett.kirk@celebratecalm.com. But you have to be bold, and you have to be assertive, and you've got to have an investment. I'm not just giving stuff away. Part of the reason, you know, I want things to be expensive, and trust me, in the big scheme of things, many of us spent thousands of dollars on testing and psychologists and psychiatrists and therapists who didn't give us anything practical and concrete that worked. So we spent the money on other things. So spending $395, $295, $500, it's nothing compared to what we spent in other areas or what we spend on other stuff in our homes. But I get it, it's an investment. But part of it is just self-respect for me. I respect the decade that we had kids in our home, and we did stuff. Man, nobody else, I don't think I've looked, nobody else in the world, anybody that I know, ever took the most challenging kids, and we took kids, we had kids flying from Europe, we had kids all over the United States come right into our home and do this. And we went into people's homes, and we did stuff that was really, really difficult. And I loved every minute of it, but some of it was just not really pleasant. And I respect the work that I've put into this, and I respect the fact that when I look at the big picture and I say, you know, I get people all the time, you know, and homework just keeps being a fight, keeps being a fight. Well, have you learned, have you gotten tools to learn how to do homework in a different way and learn what the research and science say about stimulating the brain? No, I haven't done it. Well, we've created a whole CD. We've created brain boosters. They're on the parenting CDs are on there. And I go through 10, 15, 25 ways to do it differently. Well, I know, but this cost me $100 or a couple $100. Okay, well, then fight every night for the whole year. To me, I say, okay, if I could spend $100, if I could spend $200, and I can stop the fighting in my home and stop myself from feeling guilty, well, absolutely, I can afford that. I'll make that work. So anyway, give us a call with that. Okay, here's a couple good ones to end with. 14-year-old girl, her stomach hurts, honors classes, good grades, but she doesn't want to go to school because I think the kids are picking on each other. Therapist wants to put her on Zoloft. I'm not a doctor. I can't say anything about this and tell you what to do. I can tell you a few things. When you get into stomach issues, that's anxiety. That's fear. The girls picking on each other. And just reacting with, well, I'm going to put you on Zoloft to help with your anxiety. My big issue with that, and let me qualify this, Zoloft and different medications can be lifesavers and can be extremely helpful and effective. And some of your kids need to have a medication. They just do. And those of you who are purists and say, oh, you should never put your child on medication, you don't know because your child hasn't been there. Or some of us, we have more flexibility and we can stay home and we can create a different environment. But some people, they just don't have as many tools at their disposal as others. So some kids, they just need it. But I'll tell you what is scary and what I really hate about this is the response is, well, let's just give her a medication. Well, the scary part is two things. One is there are some side effects that are really scary from some of these things. And why don't we put the time into getting to the root of the issue and teaching this 14-year-old girl, how do you deal with this at school? How do you deal with it? How do you handle your anxiety? Just taking a pill teaches them nothing, and then it just conditions them, oh, I have an issue, I'll go take a pill. And I don't want to do that. I want to teach them first and foremost, well, how do I deal with this anxiety? So here's a couple of things that I would do. Now, this is bold, but I like bold plans with our kids because they're bold kids. Anxiety is caused by unknowns, things I can't control, other people picking on me. So we need to counter it with specific, concrete jobs and tasks. I want your daughter to take some action. I would love for her to go in and talk to the assistant principal or principal and say, you know what, we've got some issues at the school because girls are picking on each other, and it's tough, and you know what, I've gotten picked on, but I'm not going to complain about it or anything else. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to stand up. I want to form a support group for other girls in this school who are getting picked on. What can you help me to do? And I guarantee you, if it takes one or two girls to stand up and form a support group, and you know what would happen? There will be more girls in that support group than there will bullies. But that's from a girl standing up, so I'd encourage that. Have the assistant principal give your daughter a very specific job at school so she can focus on that, tutoring younger kids, doing things like that. It's just really, really effective when you do that. Get to this couple other questions on the next show that I didn't get to. Thank you for joining us. Join us on Facebook. Just look at facebook.com/CelebrateCalm. If you're new to Celebrate Calm, go to our website, sign up for the newsletter. Tell us where you are. Tell us what city, because we send out notes about where you are. Call Brett. He's the nicest person in the world, and you can ask him about his new little baby boy who is adorable. We got to see him and hold him last week. It's 888-506-1871. Emails, and we hope to see you in Minnesota and around the country. Love you all. Take care. Remember, go on an offensive. Love these kids. Be intense with the positive praise this coming week and watch how they change. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.